As Andrew said, my name is Cassie Betker. I am the Director of Youth Ministries here at Forest Hills. So far, Pastor Andrew has spoken on love and joy, and I get the privilege of continuing with cultivating peace. Normally, I am speaking to teenagers and not adults, so let's see how this goes. Now we're going to get to know me a little bit better. Here is going to be a lovely picture of my family. There is Steve and Lily. On the surface, this picture is perfect. We are smiling, the sky is full of colors, and the beauty of Lake Superior is in the background. What this picture doesn't show is the tears and screaming and overall frustration, and that was just me. As the saying goes, if mama's not happy, no one's happy. And that was true on that day. No one was happy after my meltdown. I am not sure why I decided to do pictures at sunrise when I am not a morning person. And then we got out to Lake Superior and it was foggy and cold and wet. Yeah, I know, it's Lake Superior. I should have been prepared. But the camera didn't want to work in these conditions and I did not handle it well. That morning was anything other than peaceful, even if this picture makes it look like it. Peace seems to be elusive, not only in that morning, but in our world and in our life. It's probably because it's something we don't often think about. Or if we do think of it, it's more of a global problem. After many years of pageantry, I normally only think of peace like these pageant contestants from the movie Miss Congeniality. It'll show. All have a tendency to define peace like that video clip as a great idea, but more in the abstract. We view it as an absence of conflict in terms of war or argument. Webster defines peace as a state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. We all desire peace. People are always searching for peace all on their own. We sing songs about it. We go on pilgrimages to find it. Many wealthy, famous, and powerful people would trade everything for one moment of peace. But what we often find, however, is the world's false peace. This peace is self-serving and fleeting. It is different from the peace offered by Jesus. God defines peace in a completely different way than our society. The biblical concept of peace is more of a personal definition, and it rests heavily on the Hebrew word shalom, which means to be complete or to be sound. The verb contains both a dynamic and static meaning, to completely be whole or to live well. The Hebrew concept of peace refers to the state of well-being, wholeness, in harmony in all relationships. Isaiah 26:3 states, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Shalom is multidimensional, the complete well-being of physically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. It flows from all of one's relationships being set right, relationship with God, with oneself, and with others. But keeping shalom is hard. When someone sits down in our living room, that family picture is the first thing they see. It showcases all we want the world to see, a smiling, loving family that doesn't have morning issues. But that picture also represents the bigger, broader issue in our society, that it shows how we are different people in different situations and how we don't necessarily want people to see all aspects of our lives. How many of us act the same way at work as we do at home? or at home as we do when we're out with our friends, or when we're out with our friends as we do at church. We have a tendency to treat faith in this same way. We compartmentalize it as a home or church thing. At home, we may have a strong faith life, but once we get to work, we may act a little differently. Publicly, we talk about our faith as personal, just between God and me. Or maybe we don't talk about it at all. This makes perfectly good sense in a society where we have been raised since birth to think of ourselves primarily as private individuals. We have determined that our faith is about us. But from beginning to end, Scripture assumes that while personal faith is required for salvation, the personal faith that God demands is not a private faith. But trying to embody such integrity that is a fully integrated life is difficult in a society that cultivates fragmentation rather than the wholeness of shalom. Most of us realize that being a follower of Christ has implications for all aspects of our lives, and not just a few private or religious ones. But there is such an important distinction that every Christ follower needs to understand. Is your Christian faith personal? Of course. It is deeply personal, or I hope so. Your relationship with Jesus is your relationship. It belongs to you and no one else. You filter your life, your thoughts, your emotions, and your experiences through the eyes of faith. But is your Christian faith private? Only if you are living in fear rather than faith. But the most natural act of the person who believes in Jesus is to at once profess to others that Jesus is the Son of God. That profession becomes one of the hardest things Christians do. I'm not talking about the simplicity of saying I'm a Christian or wearing a cross around your neck. I'm talking about that hard day-to-day choices that show our faith to those around us. When we often work, commute, worship, eat in very different places and with different sets of people, it is easy to be different people in each of those spheres. We are most often more Christian in our behaviors at home than in public. We justify that difference. We make statements such as, my home is our haven, or I'm free to be me, or you can't tell me how to believe. But if the public you, that one that's at work or school for 40 odd hours a week, isn't the real you, then who is? And more importantly, what is connecting those different views? This country promotes individuality above all else. A view of individuality as our primary goal doesn't work when we have been incorporated into the body of Christ. We are incapable of securing peace by ourselves. In our fallen state, we are not capable of living righteously before God and our fellow humans. Because when faith is reduced to private domains of life, it ceases to be public, and it ceases to have interpersonal effect with those around you. The test of Christian faith is not what people individually choose or want. The real test is the test of love. Jesus put it plainly when he told his followers to love others as he loved them. Love is the crucial thing because love has the power to nurture relationships, reconcile divisions, heal the world. And as such, our deeply personal faith must have political, social, and economic effect. Jesus does not call people to the cozy confines of home or church. He calls them to go out into this world, share love rather than hate, and to practice humility and mercy with those around them. He would rather not have arrogance and indifference, but love for the fellow humans. Your faith is personal and public. When we begin to walk and talk in that wholeness from one setting to another, from one relationship to another, we begin to receive the peace Jesus is talking about. John 14:27 states, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let your hearts not be troubled, and let them not be afraid. The peace offered by the world is an empty promise, and it can only bring temporary comfort. God's peace is permanent. It's offered by the only one who can be trusted to keep his word and heal our sin. God has reconciled the world in Christ, thereby reestablishing genuine shalom between God and creation. God alone is the source of our peace, for he is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord came to sinful humankind, desiring to enter into a relationship with them. He established them a covenant of peace, which was sealed by his presence. Participants were given perfect peace so long as they maintained a right relationship with God. Now I could stop my message right there. It'd be easier, because this next part is a whole lot harder. Maintaining a perfect, right relationship with the Lord. A right relationship with God. What does that even mean? How do we achieve it? A question to ask ourselves is, do I have a right relationship with God? If we live in fragmentation, how can we be right with the Lord? Are you living the life of a Christian in faithful obedience to God? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Jesus taught in John 15:4-6, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine, and neither will you if you are not connected to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me, and I will in you. You will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch that is tossed out and shrivels up and is later gathered to be tossed in the fire to burn." A personal relationship with God begins with knowing his son, Jesus Christ. As we grow in our faith and become disciples, we begin to change from the inside out. You and I are destined to change. And when we change, our earthly relationships change also. Jesus commands us to make disciples. Now, many people translate that phrase, to make disciples, to mean teach Jesus' people. No question, there is a teaching aspect to making disciples, but it is so much more than that. Making disciples in the Bible carries with it the idea of introducing someone to Jesus for the first time, influencing them to accept Jesus as their Savior, and then inviting them to see what a life devoted to Jesus looks like by watching you. Therefore, every follower of Jesus who is actually making disciples is sharing their faith in Jesus in a very public way. So let's go back to that first question for just a minute. Can faith be personal and private? Yes. But can it be personal and private at the same time you are making disciples? No. You can and should have a personal faith. Just remember, if your faith is private, you're not really making disciples. We must view our faith as personal and public. Once we have this very countercultural view of faith as being personal and public, it becomes easier to be the same person at home, work, or church. We start to live a fully integrated life. What was once fragmented becomes whole. We receive the peace God is offering. The peace of God must be evident in us. Others need to see what we have and desire it. Then we must be peacemakers, able to share the love of God with a troubled world. There is nothing more blessed than sowing peace into the lives of those around you. They need Jesus, the only source of true peace. You have what they need. Go, be peacemakers.
Amen.